This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
The Golden State Warriors got big boyed by the Boston Celtics last night. We could talk about Jaylen Brown's 27, Jason Tatum, who I think had 3 points in the first quarter and just blew up from there on in. Marcus Smart hit big shot after big shot. I don't know that the game wasn't won right in the lane with Robert Williams, Grant Williams, and Draymond Green just getting owned. Kanata Edwards, my friend, at Nada the Scribe on Twitter, CBSSports.com, NBA expert, joins us. And for the first time, I can see his beautiful face. I'm excited for that. All right, sir. Was this more about Draymond Green defensively than anything else that we saw?
I wouldn't stop at just Draymond Green.
Sure, okay.
How many times did you see them give up dribble penetration? Steph giving it up. It was Wiggins giving it up. They don't have a guy to guard Draymond Green at this point. Not Draymond Green, Jaylen Brown.
Right.
They don't have a guy to guard Jaylen Brown. And we're not even getting into the 23 points that Jason Tatum is creating just off of his assist alone. That's some of the stuff that we're seeing right now from it's an entire mess defensively. And for one of these teams being one of the better, like both of these teams were excellent defensively. The fact that Ime Udoka keeps coming back and destroying whatever scheme Steve Kerr comes up with, that should be kind of an alarming situation right now.
How does Golden State do this in the third quarter? Every third quarter, they took the lead. I know Boston reclaimed it and led by four after three. The Warriors had a one-point lead. I think it was 82-81 after being down by at least 17 in the second quarter. How did they do this, and then Boston gets back up off the mat, although they didn't in game two, obviously?
Because it goes back to what Jason Tatum said earlier, which was this team, we just got to stop turning this over. We got to stop turning the ball over. We just got to start being smart with the ball. The minute the Boston Celtics start being smart with the ball, it's not a series anymore. It's not a competition anymore. The only reason that this series has been somewhat close and somewhat competitive at this point is because of the Boston Celtics turnovers. That's it. Outside of that, when the Boston Celtics do not turn the ball over, they're a vastly superior team to the Golden State Warriors, which is something I'm not sure any of us saw coming at this point.
I remember having conversations before, like it was during the conference finals, and it was almost a fait accompli that, okay, whether it was Boston or Miami, neither of these teams were beating Golden State. And, I mean, I didn't really challenge it. I liked Boston. I liked them better than Miami, and they ended up needing to go to Game 7, which was concerning. But I didn't think it was a slam dunk. But I understood that most people were picking Golden State, and they were the betting favorites. And then I saw one game, and I went, wait a second.
Yep.
I'm not sure Boston isn't the better team, and I'm not sure it's that close. I think they have more weapons, and I just think that Golden State has too many question marks, whether it's Clay, both ends of the floor, Draymond, who's just no good offensively at all.
That's a thing. We might have to talk about that. Draymond might be cooked.
And Clay too.
That's the thing that worries me the most, honestly, if you're a Golden State fan. You got your Clay game. You got your one Clay game. Clay had 20 plus last night.
Yeah.
You lost. That's not a guarantee to happen again. I would be completely concerned if I was on the Golden State that you got your Clay game and you lost, and you kind of lost handily because Boston stopped turning the ball over and started shutting off your water. There's a problem here.
Do they have to go bigger? I mean, especially with Robert Williams being as big a factor as he was, 15 offensive rebounds, and it seemed like every single one of them ended up being a putback. Grant Williams was big on the offensive glass. He had 3 offensive rebounds. It seemed like 8. Because I think they all came at big times. Does Golden State have to keep Kevin Looney on the court?
Looney's got to stay on the court, and I'm starting to get to the point where you, if you're Steve Kerr, you might have to go to the emergency button and try these rookies. Like, I think we're there.
Jonathan Kuminga?
Kuminga, especially, because you're going to need that athleticism. You're going to need someone to be that release valve on the break. But you also might need Moses Moody because as much as we like Clay, you got your one Clay game. You lost. What do you do if that Clay is not coming back for the rest of the series? It might be Moses Moody time as well. Like, you might have to go. Like, this is an emergency because if things do not change, if you do not continue to force turnovers from the Boston Celtics, this series is over. And I'm not sure the current personnel, including Andre Iguodala, Otto Porter is strangely good. And I'm not sure if you can my remedy, you got to bench Draymond. I think we're there.
How does that work? How do you bench Draymond? You might be right.
You can't. That's the other problem. That man is going to come up with a 5-part series about Steve Kerr and how that coach and how he has held him back his entire career. There's going to be a 5-part podcast series. I can see it right now. That's where we're headed if you bench Draymond, but it might be the only answer because at some point you're going to need that guy. You're going to need 5 guys on the court able to score at all times. And with Draymond, unfortunately, Boston's like, okay, you want that shot? Okay, you can have it. You can take it again.
Right.
Okay, you missed again. You want to try again? And then they'll just keep letting them shoot it and shoot and shoot it. And unless you're getting a Draymond Green game, I'm not sure what happens here. I think you're going to have to switch the personnel up. You're going to have to see Kuminga. You might have to see Moses Moody. And more Otto Porter and much less of the Draymond Green.
Yeah, Otto Porter, he capped off the 7-point possession. That was pretty. I had never seen a 7-point possession before, so I was glad.
First time in my life, too.
I was glad to be witness to that. I just don't know. First of all, I think we're making too big of a deal about the Draymond Green podcast. It's not like he does it at halftime. Why is that somehow a conversation piece at this point?
Because we need stuff to talk about that's not about the game.
We
need stuff that's not about the game. Or at least certain people do because they feel like it's the only thing that the NBA does. I produce podcasts for a living.
Do you
know how hard it is?
Very well, by the way.
Thank you. But the thing is, do you know how hard it is it's going to be for Draymond to record a podcast? It's 30 more minutes of media availability, for which there's tons of media availability because, hello, it's the NBA Finals. That's where this annoys me the most. The podcast, all he's got to do, sit down, hit record. The producers are going to take care of the rest of them. You want to know how I know? Because I produce podcasts. That's how I know. So all it is 30 extra minutes of Draymond ranting and raving.
Right.
If you've seen Draymond rant and rave, it's not like he can. It's not like he has any sort of difficulty doing it in the first place. So what are we doing here complaining about this?
First of all, it's a great podcast. I listen to it all the time. I think it's better when he is interviewing people than when he is just going off. But look, he's in his hotel room or wherever he is. I mean, he could be watching. He's probably not going to sleep right away. I mean, he could be watching Stranger Things. I don't know what he's doing. I have zero problem with it. It bothers me that this has become a talking point. I don't think it is impacting his game. And I don't know. I could actually make an argument that it could help his game because he's talking his way through all of this.
Yeah.
And Draymond is also very self-critical. He said, I can't repeat it, but he said that he played blank.
Yes. And that's the thing. That's the crazy part to this whole thing. It's not like he's out here throwing his teammates under the bus.
Right.
if it was that, that's one thing. If it was, Steph's got to shoot better. Clay's got to look not so old. Steve Kerr's got to make these decisions. No, this is a guy that's trying to educate you while he's going through the finals.
Yeah.
It's free content, and yet somehow we are complaining about the content when, quite honestly, I'd much rather more of these post-game podcasts than some of the other stuff that we see on social media from NBA players. Hello, Miles Bridges.
All right, we're gonna leave Miles out of it for a minute. Look, I love what Green's doing. Actually, I referenced his interviewing skills, which I think are incredibly underrated.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes, other than the Steph Curry episode, which was amazing. Jason Tatum. He had a long conversation with Jason Tatum. I think those two guys get each other, and it's cool how he has he looks at Tatum as the future. Well, you know, one of the big stars coming up. All right, so you talked about we're talking with Kanata Edwards at Nada the Scribe on Twitter. You talked about maybe a Kuminga or a Moody coming into the lineup. You sort of referenced Andre Iguodala. Can Iguodala be part of the solution at all?
No.
He looked competent in the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah, he did. But here's the thing.
Somebody's got to stop Derek White.
Somebody has to. It's got to be either a Gary Payton II or Jordan Poole. Hey, carry your defensive load on this too. Like, unfortunately, and I hate to be this way, but Andre Iguodala is officially the old guy in the club.
Like, yeah, okay.
You know, he's entirely too old to be there. He looks out of place. He might dress a little funny. He's officially too old to be there, though.
Yes.
That's the problem with Andre Iguodala, and you're better off giving your minutes to a guy that might have a little bit more legs and may hit a jump shot, because when you put Andre Iguodala out there with Draymond Green, that's two guys the Boston Celtics are basically going to be like, you want that jumper from
right.
three? Okay, go have it. Go ahead. And we're going to put two guys on Steph, and we're going to make his life a living nightmare.
Now, let me ask you this.
Put as many...
Let me just hate to interrupt, but let me just ask you this, because you mentioned a player that when he came into the game last night, I was like, oh, that's right, he's still here. In game one, Gary Payton was a DNP coach's decision. I just assumed that, well, if he's available and not playing, that he's not really available. And then in game two, I felt like he was one of the catalysts in the second quarter that changed the game. And yet he got almost no burn last night. I don't know if it's because he was wearing a Scully. I'm not sure. But I think he can be a seriously impactful player. He might be able to be a defender for Jaylen Brown, even though he's smaller than Brown. He plays bigger. I mean, is that he could be a solution.
Do you trust a guy with a recently healed fractured elbow to hit threes repeatedly and consistently?
No, but I don't think he has to.
He kind of has to, because, and this is where it all comes back to, if you're going to play Kevon Looney, you're assuming that he's going to play 15 feet and below. If that's going to be the case, you can't have more than three guys, essentially you can't have all four that can't shoot out there.
Right.
It's going to have to be guys that can shoot, because otherwise you're making it very, very easy for Boston to essentially come in there, say the paint is going to be closed, because if we're noticing anything, it's that Steph's probably had to get a lot more mid-rangers than he's used to. But if you're going to do that, you can't have three guys that can shoot, or you can't have Boston packing the paint and then having a guy for when Steph gets by a defender and then goes and finds his mid-range, and instead of having a wide-open mid-range, there's another Boston Celtics player right there. You got to be able to make sure that all these guys are responsible for their man, because the Boston Celtics, as we've said routinely, have been the best defense in the NBA since January 1st. There is a reason why they're this good. You have to make them work, and unfortunately, that... Like, I love Gary Payton Jr. I think he should be playing more minutes. But if you don't trust him to hit threes, that's going to be a problem at some point.
Yeah, like, they've got Steph. I don't even think they need what they got yesterday from Clay. They just need competent Clay. They don't need closeout Clay. They don't need superstar.
They don't need game six. They don't need game six Clay.
They need efficient. 16 to 18 points out of Klay Thompson would be good enough. But, I mean, they just have to be better defensively, and they couldn't keep Boston out of the lane, and they couldn't keep Boston away from the rim. To me, that was the absolute difference in the game. All right, Kanata. Boston wins tomorrow in game four. I'm not saying that they will, but if they do, Are we even coming back to Boston without a trophy ceremony?
Yes.
You think we're back in Boston and for game six?
Yes. I think the Warriors have one last gasp in them, and I think there will be a desperation game, and I do not think Boston closes them out. I don't. In San Francisco. I don't think there's a way they do that. I don't trust them to close it out.
It's true.
If it happens, I do not, and I barely trust them to close it out in game seven. And granted, they did go to Miami and in a game seven situation, but at some point, the mileage, no matter how young you are, does catch up. And the whole heart of a champion thing is something I absolutely do subscribe to. I think if you're going to close it out, you close it out in Boston. Pray that it's Celtics in six, because I don't want to see what happens if it's Warriors in seven.
Look, they've had opportunities at home, really, in the last two series, and haven't necessarily taken advantage of them. I wouldn't give the Warriors any hope. I think Boston needs to win game four. I think if they don't win game four, they're rolling the dice.
Even though I believe they're the better team. I absolutely do agree with you there. They're a better team. They need to stop playing with their food. But they're also, again, most of this team is kind of young. And you know
are
how
they?
It is getting – they kind of are.
Kind of are. Marcus Smart's been in the league 8 years.
Yes.
Al Horford ain't young. This is his first finals.
He's not. But the crux of the team mainly is Derek White somewhat is. Now, granted, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown – those two are somewhat have some experience, but they've also been shown to play with their food. We all have that one young child that refuses to eat dinner or take their time, or they want to eat part of their dinner now, and then they come back 15 minutes later looking for the plate and then wondering where it went. I may not have been that child at one point. That's neither here nor there, but you understand what I'm saying. They'll play with their food.
Okay.
I feel good about Celtics in six. I feel okay about Celtics in seven, only because they have that Miami game under their belt. I do worry about, I just don't think they're closing them out. I think you're going to get one good Warriors game in Boston. And if they can take that best shot, then hey, we're headed for Celtics in six. Because I think the max you're going to get is two really good haymakers from the Golden State Warriors. And after that, I think it's a fun series, but I think we're getting close to the Warriors need to do something and do something soon.
If you're the better team, take care of business, because that Warriors team, they weren't again. Draymond Green is not going to play that trashy again. He's going to be better. He'll be dirtier, which I'm okay with, because it is the finals. But he's going to be better. At Not of the Scribe on Twitter. You are a gentleman, sir. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well on the program. Exactly. And we'll actually see each other probably for ACC Media Days in like a month and change.
Absolutely. I will. I'll see you at the hotel refreshment stand.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
All right, my man.
You got it. Kanata Edwards at Not of the Scribe on Twitter. Yeah, like the Draymond Green podcast thing. I don't understand. I just wonder if the people who are paid to talk about these things really know what goes into it. Like, the Kane's Corner podcast that I do, and there will be a new episode that will drop today.
Okay.
I recorded with Corey Lavallette and Sarah Sivian yesterday.
Two great people.
It was fun. So I didn't have time to post it yesterday because I do it.
Yeah.
Draymond Green does not produce his own podcast. He just talks, and then whoever the guy is that he occasionally talks to on his podcast, that guy.
Yeah.
Who probably has help from somebody else, that guy puts it up.
You're preaching to the choir here,
right?
Sir.
You produce podcasts.
You
do your own,
like Culture Satan,
and you produce that. But you also produce other podcasts that you are in charge of. Like I produce the Kane's Corner podcast, right? I put that whole thing together. So when I finish recording it, then I edit it, and then I piece it together, and then I post it. So after I'm done with the recording process, there's probably another hour to 90 minutes that I have to work.
Yeah.
Draymond doesn't do any of that.
Nope. Like for me, for Culture State, because it's also on WRL Sports Plus, since Chris and I do video
right.
for it, I have to edit it to 30 minutes exactly.
I would like to see you edit that to 30 seconds.
You get the intro and the close.
That's it. We're done. Thank you very much. So why are people complaining about that?
Yeah.
The podcast has zero impact on anything.
Exactly.
Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. All right, we put 5 on the board. We have gotten to the half. Let's do it.
Entertainment.
Oh, by the way, follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. Follow Culture State podcast wherever you get your podcast. What else did you do on the pitch or something?
Courage on the pitch.
Courage on the pitch. Follow that wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
You can watch the video of both of those on YouTube.
I haven't gone to video yet. Nobody wants
to
see me on video.
You should.
Let's see, what other podcasts can we pimp out here? The Joe Ovius History of Triangle Sports Sports Media, right?
Yeah, History of Triangle Sports, yeah.
History of Triangle Sports, whatever it's called. Follow that wherever you get your podcast. I should probably know the full title of that.
Yeah, not that anyone.
They've done
to
good
know.
Work. Follow the best of the Adam Gold Show.
Exactly. You get 3 or 4 of those a day.
Yeah, you do.
I'm currently editing one as I speak.
Which one is it?
From actually be editing 2 from the first hour.
All right, great.
Yep, there we go. All right, speaking of just behind-the-scenes stuff, I guess you can say, or actually people in front of the screen watching it, we had the Western Conference NHL Finals TV viewership in.
Right.
1.8 million average for the Western Conference Finals, most since 2015 for the Western Conference.
Wait, 1.5 million?
1.8 million
1.8
average.
Million average.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem very good.
But some most since 2015. You got to think, though, it's that the Western Conference doesn't get quite the viewership that the Eastern Conference does because a lot of it based around time.
Right.
Because different time zones and such. And also, smaller markets.
What was the – do we have the Eastern Conference number?
Not yet because it hasn't finished.
Okay.
So this is the average.
NHL. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry, NHL. Yes. Well, so part of it was Edmonton.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, also a Canadian team, so less interest in this market. Not to mention the fact that it went 4 games.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that has a lot to do with it. Now, the East, I'm sure the East numbers have been very good so far.
Game 7 between the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers averaged 2.79 million viewers.
Yeah, the Canes-Boston was, I don't think it was the highest, but it was up there. In terms of which series got the most eyeballs, and obviously Canes Rangers was killing it. Yeah, the numbers are up.
Yeah,
the numbers are up.
I bet this Tampa New York Rangers series is going to draw big numbers, especially these last. I'm going to say 3 games because I feel like it's going to go to a game 7. But anyway, I know we kind of talk about that every once. All right, you know who's crushing it right now in terms of viewership? Stranger Things.
We didn't talk about that with Dimitri yesterday.
Stranger Things, not only has season 4 jumped up into the top 10 in terms of number of, actually it's number 1 in terms of number of minutes or hours watched, hours viewed. Even seasons 1, 2, and 3 have all jumped into the top 4. So right now, Stranger Things, all 4 seasons, have the top number in terms of viewership, in terms of hours watched, all four seasons. First season came out July 2016.
Really?
Yes. So it's just people are going back and either rewatching it or maybe watching it for the first time or catching up, whatever it may be. But just kind of goes to show you how great, honestly, how great this season has been. Because if the season wasn't that good so far, then people weren't going to go back and rewatch stuff. And also could be people that may have never watched the first three seasons are hearing how great it is mm-hmm. and are going back and binging it right now.
Sure.
So Stranger Things, all props to them. They've surged to the top four most watched series on Netflix this past week based on minutes viewed. All Stranger Things.
Awesome.
So, yeah, congrats to Duffer Brothers right here in North Carolina.
Oh, look at that.
I'm sure I told you, but they make a lot of references to the Durham area.
Do they?
Yes. Like Cornwallis Road, the Eno River, the Rock Quarry. They actually directly reference Durham, North Carolina.
Really?
In season four. Spoiler alert. So it's all out there for people. All right. The Joker, which is a movie that featured Joaquin Phoenix as the lead character. The Joker sequel is officially on the way. So on Tuesday afternoon, Todd Phillips confirmed on Instagram account that the script for the movie has been written. A release date or time of filming hasn't been announced or anything like that yet, but it looks like we will get a sequel to the movie The Joker. The working title that's on the script right now is Joker Folie à Deux.
Excuse you?
Yes.
Are you allowed to say that?
I believe so. It's okay. A psychiatric syndrome. It's French. Psychiatric syndrome where two or more people begin to share delusions.
All right.
So a lot of people are speculating, well, is this where we actually get the true Joker? Like Joaquin Phoenix's Joker wasn't the actual real Joker that we know from the Batman comics.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what inspires the current one, again, sharing two delusions. Or two or more people sharing the same delusions. So, again, we'll see what we're going to get regarding this. But pretty awesome, I would say. I mean, the movie earned over, $1 billion. And it only cost $60 million to make.
Wow.
So highly profitable. So, yeah, when you make $1 billion in the box office, only cost you $60 million to make it, a sequel is likely to come. I have
sure.
Kanata Edwards
money.
And I can actually probably talk for 20 minutes on this.
Well, we should get him back on, and then you guys can talk about it.
Oh.
And I'll leave.
Okay. And you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We'll take care of it. Also, we are hearing rumors.
Uh-oh.
I know a lot of people are out there are really enjoying the Star Wars Disney Plus shows that are out, whether it's been The Mandalorian, even possibly The Book of Boba Fett. Obi-Wan Kenobi series is going on right now. But there is a show in the works called The Knights of the Old Republic. And this is a series that is going to take place thousands of years, potentially, before A New Hope, like before the original. So this is something that has been in the works for a little while. So this is back in the early days of the Jedi, and we might see some characters for people who are big-time Star Wars fans that may have read the books. Might see characters like Darth Bane, Darth Nihilus, Darth Malak. So a lot of these characters are starting to be rumored and released right now, but a Knights of the Old Republic series is definitely in the works right now, which I'm excited to see because, again, this is the Old Republic that, again, precedes even the Phantom Menace and all the the films. So I'm excited for it because I'm a nerd.
I don't blame you.
And I like Star Wars. Granted, I will say the last trilogy did not really like overall.
No?
No. But The Mandalorian saved Star Wars for me, I will say that.
Okay, I have not seen any episodes of The Mandalorian.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, again, but I've seen all this. Well, I haven't seen all the Star Wars. I saw the original three.
Okay.
I saw the three prequels, which were varying degrees of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were okay.
Yeah.
I saw...
I had moments.
I didn't see The Last Jedi. No, I didn't see the last two.
Okay.
But I saw the episode 7, whatever that was.
Force Awakens. Which is just a retread of A New Hope.
Okay, it wasn't awesome. I liked Rogue One. I liked that.
Rogue One was fun.
I thought the origin story of Rogue One was very good. Yeah, but I didn't see Solo or, like, stop. Yeah. Just, I'm done. Give me something else.
Jurassic
Give me something
Park.
Else to not watch.
Jurassic Park.
Give me something else to not watch.
Jurassic Park. Just watch the first Jurassic Park, please, Adam. I beg of you.
Okay.
That's all I have. That was my final plea.
All right, we have bets to make. We have bets.
I made
to,
money.
Bets to lose. You're on a roll.
I am actually.
You are on a roll. We'll do that next.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
I think lacrosse has a bright future. All right. We got, and I'm sure we're getting plenty of lacrosse bets here. We have
tomorrow,
we have wagers to make. Let's do it.
Bets. Here we are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this, Dennis Cox. Start us off. You got at least two right yesterday.
I got two right. I got Ukraine over
Ireland
yesterday, and I also had Jaylen Brown, two first-half three-pointers.
Very nice.
So I was a plus 315 overall yesterday.
He had 24 at halftime?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get him to 30?
Yeah.
So upset. So upset. All right, start us.
I'm going to go to the NHL.
Right.
Lightning Rangers. Corey Perry of the Lightning to get a point tonight.
Just a point.
Just a point. Plus 130.
Just a point is, that's it. Just, that's all it is plus 130?
Yep.
All right.
I like that.
That's fine. It seems like you should get more. Corey Perry, I don't know. Corey Perry's not guaranteed to get anything. Although he is getting power play time. All right. I'll save my hockey bet for later.
Okay.
I'm going to start with baseball. Yesterday, I thought, like, there's no way you're losing 13 in a row or 14 in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Angels have lost 14 in a row or whatever the number is. There's no way it's getting 15, right?
Right.
Right. Give me the Angels, who are actually a favorite tonight. But I'm going to go the Angels minus a run and a half.
Okay.
At plus 165.
All right. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and feed right into that because Shohei Ohtani's actually pitching tonight, but I know he still bats even when he pitches. Home run plus 400 tonight for Shohei Ohtani.
I'm telling you.
Give it to me.
You should have Shohei Ohtani hitting a home run every day until he hits a home run.
I know.
Because you know what's going to happen is that you're going to not have it one day. He's going to hit a home run, and you're going to be mad.
By the way, Shohei Ohtani plus 165 to earn a win tonight.
Nice.
So I'm not going to take that.
You have just to hit a home run at plus 400. I like it. All right. UEFA Nations League,
mm-hmm.
which we're doing every day because there aren't that many things to wager on during the week. Sweden, Serbia, draw, plus 220.
Sweden, Serbia, draw, plus 220. All right.
And is Zlatan playing for Sweden?
No idea. I'm also going to go UEFA Nations League.
See, I told you.
Spain, Switzerland. I can get Spain at plus 100.
Spain at plus 100?
Yeah, to win.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
All right. A lot of options.
Lock it in.
Lot of options for the hockey game tonight. Like, I'm considering Mika Zibanejad and Steven Stamkos to both score a goal at plus 600.
Oh, okay.
They
both have to score, though.
They both have to score. But I think I'm just going to go overtime tonight. Give me an overtime game at plus 300.
All right.
I think that's where we're headed.
I respect that.
OT.
With Corey Perry getting the game winner.
Oh, that would be great for all of us.
That would be wonderful for everybody.
That would be great for all of us. All right, so look, I'm looking for – this is – the Rangers have won eight straight home games. The Lightning have proven they can win on the road in the playoffs. They haven't beaten the Rangers yet on the road. They lost games 1 and 2 in New York, and everybody thought the Bolts were done. And lo and behold, now they once again look like the Lightning. We'll see if the Rangers can recapture some home magic. If they can't, series probably ends in Tampa in Game 6. But you have the run on the radio tonight, by the way, if you're listening in Raleigh. John Forslund on the call.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.